Good afternoon, my friends. This is Carolyn Evers. I am so excited to be here today because you know what? This show today is all about you. That is, if you want to call in and get an Archangel Michael reading from Mattia, or perhaps, who knows, who might bop in for a second. We might even be able to open some of your soul records and get some information from the past. At any rate, that's part of our excitement today. And, dear Mattia, are you on the other line?
Yes, I am, Carolyn.
I just love it. I love it when you say welcome and somebody answers. You know, if somebody's going to ring your doorbell, let's hope they're there when you open the door. Anyway, Mattia and I were talking about readings in general. And the fascinating thing about that is, depending upon who is speaking, they all have a tone. They all have a certain flavor, so to speak. And they speak from different directions. And as we do readings, and of course Mattia and I have done a lot of readings for people, you find certain elements in these readings that really are pertinent to everyone. And so one of the things that Mattia and I are going to discuss today is some of the truths that we have found in the different readings. Not only truths, but perhaps some overlays of questions that different people have, and they're really similar questions because many of us have traveled the same path. And in that, you might say, we're going to have a little contest of sorts, because the very first person who calls in and asks for a reading is I'm going to send their way through the email an ebook of Chaos Before Creation. And we've talked about this because it has many forms of healing in it, and it is highly recommended by the spiritual hierarchy for the healing that is necessary today. Now, Mattia, I know you have something special for our dear listeners. What did you have in mind to give for the second individual who will call in for a reading?
I do graphics with the masters, and I call them focuses because these graphics are overlighted by the master or goddess or feminine energy, whoever decides that they want this particular image grounded in the earth. I work with them and I bring forth these images that allow their energies to come in and spark subconscious memory. So I will let them choose any one of the 8x10 focuses off of my website.
And so since the person will have the choice of any particular wonderful picture that you have there, would you give your website so they know where to go to see what their free gift is going to be?
Okay, it's www.thecrystalpyramid.com, all common spelling. So thecrystalpyramid.com, and they can just click on the store link, and there is a link there that will take them into the graphics.
Isn't that wonderful? Though, I have said to Mattia before, those pictures are too beautiful to be called graphics. We've got to come up with another name. They're just too beautiful. You know, maybe it's just me. When I think of a graphic, I think of something that doesn't have personality. You know, it's kind of there with a smiley face or whatever, but these pictures stir your heart and your soul. And so that's why I sort of say we got to come up with another word, but she keeps calling them graphics, so perhaps we can call them sacred graphics. I don't know.
Well, I used to say, excuse me, focuses.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what they are, a focus of light from that particular master.
Right.
And I got a lot of blank stares, so I retrained myself to say graphic. So we can call them focuses or graphics.
Well, maybe the people that you were talking to was just focusing on your words. The stairs just seemed blank.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so. so.
Mattia, if you care to, I'm going to sort of hit the ball on your court first. After thinking about some of the Archangel reading, well, first of all, before we start talking about some of the information that might be in some of these readings, give me and those who are listening an idea of the kind of reading that Archangel might give to someone who requests his assistance.
You mean the tone of the reading and the information usually imparted?
Well, he sort of has a particular pathway, rather direct to the point. However you choose to interpret that, to kind of give the listeners a feeling for what they could expect if they were given a reading from Archangel Michael. However you perceive that.
Okay. Archangel Michael focuses on a person's divine mission. This is the reason that they came to Earth and their contracts with the spiritual hierarchy. It is different than their karmic path, although sometimes he will include past lives if they're pertinent to the growth that the person is experiencing or the reason that the person came to Earth. So usually he will give you a little bit about where you came from. This isn't with everybody. Each reading is just a little bit different, but he usually addresses your origins, and he's always very excited to have a member of his soul family show up. So he gives you a bit about the origins, then he will either move on to the mission or address a past life that has pertinence in this day and age. He never, ever leaves anyone without something to do. At this point, yes. So he had me put on the website. He wrote what was on my website. It's more or less, if you're not ready and you don't want to know, do not ask. His thing is responsibility, as you and I have discussed several times.
Sounds like my mom. You know, my mom used to say things like that.
Well, I see him as almost like the dad of the earth. I mean, this is his assignment, his mission, is to bring us all home. And sometimes our fathers discipline us in a way that we don't always appreciate or like. But if we can accept the correction and think about it, we realize that, hey, that just gave me a boost in the right direction, and I've saved myself a whole lot of lessons and pain I don't have to go through now.
Oh, I guess you don't remember when you were a little kid and you said, okay, Dad, give me a boost. Come on, bring it on. I just want to get out there and get this all done.
I didn't say we like it.
I don't ever remember saying that. I was just funning with you a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Well, he will give it whether we like it or not.
Well, taking that into something that you said I thought was kind of interesting, you were talking about karma, I believe, and I wanted to back up to that a little bit. His readings are not involving karma between, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. This does not mean karma between individuals, like a mother and a father, husband and wife. This is, I think you said, karma between the soul and the spiritual hierarchy. Is that what you said?
That is what the divine mission is. That is
uh-huh.
their contract.
The contract.
Their karma may be, for example, in a lifetime in Atlantis, they were a healer and a seer. And they lost their way. They stepped into the density. They created this karmic cycle. So now when they come back, they have certain problems or traits that they're working on in this embodiment that deals with that lifetime. But he never comes out and says, he did in one case, only gave a personal relationship in one case. But most of the time he will not give personal relationships, as he says they're not really relevant to what the soul needs to do. These are ego creations. So he addresses the spiritual aspects that need to be worked on and cleared. And a lot of times these people are at the 51% mark, which means they've balanced their karma to the point where they can move to the ascension process. I don't have that answer clearly.
Can we just step back and repeat that a little bit? Because that sounds like an important thing. In other words, before we can begin on the ascension process, did I understand this correctly? The person has to balance their karma by at least 51%. Is that the gist of it?
I'm going to have to ask him for clarity because that doesn't necessarily come out in the reading.
Oh.
He says that the soul is emotionally immature until they get to the 51% point.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, they can work on balancing and move forward if they have matured enough, but the average young soul is not to the point where they're ready to leave the earth. They're still having a good time here, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not ready to leave. By the time you get to the 51% mark, you have probably been here for millions and millions of years. You're tired and you're ready to go home.
Just the thought of being here for millions of years fatigues me.
Well, many of us, I know I've been here for billions. And so have you from what we spoke to him about.
I wear a good natural cream. Keeps me looking young. Anybody out there want some of that cream that would keep a multi-million year age soul looking good? Well, I guess I'm just in a rare mood today, huh?
Well, you know how much he likes laughter. He thought that was pretty cute.
I was just thinking, I hope your telephone bill with Archangel Michael is free on the weekends. That's part of your free service. Anyway, you kind of given us a good idea as to the kind of information that Archangel Michael might give to an individual, whether they want it or not. Now, from the standpoint of some of the readings that you have done, I think you feel this way, don't you? That you sort of see a certain pattern of truths that come forth. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And perhaps you could think of one. Does one come to mind where you might impart this to the audience?
I think the most predominant theme throughout all the readings, because like I said, I'm dealing mostly with older souls who are ready to leave. He focuses on subconscious clearing. He will guide them to a program of study where they can start to look at their patterns and where they can start to clear it out. And this is kind of like we cannot go into the next dimension with our present thought system. And many people are under the impression that we're just going to vibrate off of our planet into some spiritual la-la land. And I was one of those until I got the correction and was explained, no, you must clear your subconscious, you must clear the thought patterns and learn to think again and retrain your mind to think thoughts that work with God, not the ego. So one of the things is that nearly everybody is guided to something where they can begin to examine the subconscious programming.
That's really an interesting thought because, I think of them like tapes in a sense. We hear something, we heard something a long time ago that was uncomfortable, and so it almost acts like it sticks to us and it's still repeating. In other words, somebody told us a long time ago when we fell or dropped something that we were pretty clumsy or stupid, and you know, when we drop things later on, we kind of still feel that little bleed through of what we were told when we were a child. Is this the kind of thing that you're talking about needing to clear out, but from a spiritual perspective?
Yes. Now take that comment and times it by about 2,000 or 3,000 lifetimes of comments, and you're closer to the truth.
Oh my goodness. I'm getting more tired as I hear this. My golly. And so we've had, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I kind of want your thoughts on this, and if Archangel wants to give us some thoughts. We've had a lot of this debris, so to speak, of that has accumulated in the past over all these different lifetimes. Why haven't we cleared this before we got to this point? It seems like we've been carrying these burdens for a long time and really haven't done a good job with this. What happened?
He says he thought you'd never ask.
He didn't whisper in my ear?
No.
Okay.
Okay, what comes through is what was created on this plane needs to be cleared on this plane. We cannot take the baggage with us into the higher dimensions. And from what I understand, this is the purpose of the fourth dimension. We're in our plane of existence here in our physical bodies. We pass over. We go to the fourth dimension. We do work over there. But we cannot then pass to the fifth dimension because we have not changed or altered the thought system or cleared out the ego mind. So while we do some work on the other side by probably acting as guides or helpers, then comes the point when we decide to come back into embodiment to try to clear this pattern again. So we come back into embodiment with these high goals and all these wonderful things we're going to do in clearing these patterns, but then we end up getting stuck again. We fall in love and get distracted, or we get into a system where we think only of money and we start working towards money and we forget all our spiritual goals. So, bammo, instead of clearing this subconscious pattern from a previous life, now you've added another dozen or so, and you've created a lot more karma while you're here. So, boom, back up into the fourth dimension you go, you do some more work, you come back with all these goals, and it's an endless circle. And what keeps us trapped in the circle is when we come back, we take back the ego mind, which is the ancient mind causing the separation or fall from God.
I had a reading that touched on that in a certain way, and they're not saying anything different than what you're saying, but kind of added another thought to it, is when you go over to the other side, which we would call passing through that doorway of death, and you've got that opportunity to review your life, and you look at it, and while you were on Earth, you didn't necessarily see some of the consequences that you were embroiled in, because there was that emotional energy that was also working on the thought process. So you go over to the other side and you look down on your life and you basically say, well, I can see up here, I can really see clearly the mistakes that I made, and I think I have changed this. And then you come back down into this lifetime and you sort of forget what you had in mind over there, because now you're embroiled in these emotions again that you weren't going through on the other side. And I kind of thought that was interesting too, that from each side that you're on, you have a different perspective and you have a different desire and a goal, and then you get back down here and you've got all these distractions and you have the emotional system to work your way through. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And remember that as we travel through the birth canal, the veil of forgetfulness descends. And so we don't remember anything we decided to do, and we don't remember anything we've done in the past. And so it's kind of like we have to relearn while we're here and hopefully have enough guidance from the spiritual forces to be guided in the right direction.
You know, to me, it sounds like Monopoly, and you land on that box where you pick up that card and it says go to jail, don't pass go, and don't collect $200.
That sounds about right.
Oh, my. What I thought I'd do is give a little insight into some of the things that I have found in my readings, and then we'll go back to you if that makes sense.
That's fine.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I heard someone else. I'm sorry.
I hear a clicking every now and then.
Yeah, that's what I heard was a click. Did you pay your telephone bill?
Oh, yeah.
I paid mine, too, so I don't know where the clicking is coming from. Anyway, I kind of forgot where... Oh, My readings are a little bit different from Atiyah's. Not that I might not get some, I mean, it's possible for me to get information from Archangel Michael and from a lot of other sources. Sometimes I'll do a reading and there'll be a message for the person from some parent that has passed over, or an acquaintance of some sort that wants to sort of touch base and give a particular message to them. And then there is also what we do is reading the Akashic records for the individual. And so that's coming from a little different perspective, in the sense that, yes, we have a whole history of the soul that we're working with, just like Archangel Michael certainly knows the whole history of the soul. But when the person asks the question, it points them in a certain direction for the answer. And there has been a lot of information when they're giving the soul history, is to talk about when God created souls. And I just find that so beautiful. I just wanted to share a couple things with you. And each of the readings has had a little different shading of this. And what is so fascinating to me is the planning that God went through before the souls were created, how this was all thought out as to the different jobs that these souls would fulfill. And that there, I've talked about this before, because I saw this when my son opened the Akashic records, and as this information was giving forth, I could see this happening, how the source sent off sparks of itself, and it went through colored rays, and with that was sound, and it was love, and it was intent. And so the souls were created on these different rays of color, and God decided ahead of time how many souls were needed in these different groups. Now, the majority of souls, it seems like, they were sent forth on the pink ray, which, of course, is love. However, with God's intent and the color and the purpose, just on the pink ray, there was a myriad of jobs that these different souls could fulfill. For instance, an individual created on the pink ray could love learning, and would be very happy around books and even being a librarian. And then with the slightly different pitch of a tone, that pink ray who was focusing in love would be very happy as a nurse, someone who would be dispensing and taking care of the physical in hospitals and so forth. And so I just found this so fascinating, that this God had planned all this out ahead of time and then sent forth enough sparks to make these souls to fulfill all of these different jobs. And then before the pink ray was sent out, there were other color rays that had to do some jobs first before these pink rays came forth. And so it kind of gives an indication to a soul what field they would be happy in doing. So that's kind of a little touch on that, because I really have enjoyed reading these things about how the souls originated. Now, back to you, Mattia. Do you have another focus or some other thoughts that you found in the readings which seemed interesting to you?
What's interesting and was a surprise to me is that he always makes a recommendation of a discipline of study for the individual, because he says that the way that it was explained to me is that at some level, the people that come into my sphere, that we had contracts, and that at some point in their awakening process, they were to come to me or someone like me. I'm not the only one, but someone who can impart this information so that the soul can, in essence, take the next steps towards their evolutionary process. And as you and I are aware, and many others, Archangel Michael's life wave is getting ready to leave the planet. So he is trying to get as many as he can to realize that they have earthly work they need to be done. They're not just going to, all this isn't just going to disappear for them. And if they want to move over these humps within the subconscious and the ego mind, that they have to begin to work on these things on the earthly plane where they were created so that they can clear this and move forward.
When you said that, Matia, excuse me, there was a little twinge that I felt when you were talking about Archangel Michael and his life ways leaving the planet. And what I wanted to say is, if those words cause a tingle in anybody that is listening, if you feel like you want to know more about that, Archangel Michael did give us a book that puts forth a lot of this information, and he calls it Earth History, Past, Present, and Future. And you can find that on the web at archangelmichaelsconclave.com. And I'm just saying that if you're not aware of it and there is something that you feel that is important in those words, look into that. You know, while we're talking about this, Matia, maybe you could give a few thoughts about what Archangel Michael is hoping to accomplish with the conclave, like the lessons that he's teaching.
With the conclave, these are souls that he's calling forth who in the future are going to be doing for them what you and I are doing for them now. You and I will move up on the ladder towards other jobs and assignments assigned by the hierarchy. And then the people within the conclave are being trained to take spiritual leadership positions on the earth. So he's subtly, because everyone's at a different level, subtly he's working with them so that they can learn to train their minds, and that's where the electron exercise comes in. You know. And
yes. I just love that. The first time I was writing that down, or the first time I even thought about that, I didn't get it. I have to say, I didn't get it. It wasn't until later when I started working with it and getting into the second lesson that I started to get it. I had one of those big aha moments. And sometimes it really takes a while to our utter amazement for us to really catch on to some new idea that we weren't thinking about before.
Yeah,
now, did you have anything else to say that you might say about the conclave? So these are people, at least who are coming now, were people who, is this fair to say, loved Archangel Michael and have worked with him sometime in the past or perhaps the present?
Yes, a lot of the people within the conclave are his commanders, his captains, his high councils that have decided to incarnate in Earth, and for one reason or the other, we lost our way.
We got to hold on to that string.
Yeah, and that's what he is. He's that thread. He's that connection back to God. And he always reminds me that the first task of each of us is to work towards God realization, but that we're not already. So he's taking the people in the conclave, and I'm sure many others out there, but he overlights them and he's working with them in a special way. because these are ones that have been connected strongly to him. Some answer the clarion calls, and he feels a sense of responsibility to guiding them back home, and some are within his legions. Some have chosen the path of the archangel, and he's their teacher in essence. So he is kind of grooming these people and overlighting them, and in a sense experimenting to see what is going to work and what isn't going to work.
Well, the other thing that I would like to add to that is that, you know, we light workers came to this planet with Archangel Michael.
Yeah, and there were, one thing that's come out in the reading is that there was not only that first clarion call to Creator, so there have been clarion calls throughout our history. One in particular was in Lemuria, and there are many clarion calls going out now to other life waves throughout the universe is to come and support this effort of raising Earth into the fifth dimension so that she doesn't destroy herself and Mother Gaia is not lost. So right now there's other clarion calls coming on.
Are you inferring by this that these calls are to beings from other planets? Is that what am I missing something, or is that what you said?
No, that's what I said.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah, that the clarion call probably has gone out a lot more than I'm aware of in different stages of our development. So when they see, like, our Earth was very dark for a long time, and then as excuse me, souls elevated and began to bring in information. And I think the big transition period seemed to be around the late 1800s, where information started coming through for the New Age. And then as these bits of information were being released and these souls began to say, there is more than this physical reality, a call would go out and a certain group would answer and come forward to aid their aid the people of Earth in accelerating. And then as we progress towards the 20th century, I mean, we can see how much technology has advanced in the last 100 years. And a lot of this is through the support of beings from other planets, other worlds, who are elevated in consciousness that are assisting Earth to learn to use these technologies. But we don't always use them appropriately, and some of the technologies that would benefit mankind are suppressed because of greed, you know, like clean technology for vehicles. Oil companies don't let that be released because they want the profits. So they're trying very hard to get us this information and help us to implement it, but because we have free will, they can only step so far into this boundary. And another thing he's reminding me of is that many of these groups coming forward have members within the soul family who have incarnated and are trapped on Earth. So they're coming forward to free their people, so to speak, and assist them in the rising consciousness so that they can move forward onto their next evolutionary step.
Something that you said reminds me of things that I have come across in my experience that has to do with spiritual information. It constantly seems like waves. It comes forth, it flowers, and then there is a group that wishes to control it or use some of the benefits for themselves to the detriment of other souls, and then this information has to go underground. And the generation passes, and then there's another opportunity for this information to come forth again and blossom and grow. And then, you know, some of the souls are able to make use of this and go on. And I, in the work that I have been doing, have seen this flow of coming forth and being hidden. And there are some people who are working with us each time that it comes forth. So that really is, I think, a very pertinent point, because it's easy to think sometimes, well, my golly, we don't seem to be getting ahead or growing or going anywhere. But we really have, because our age today is certainly not the most advanced age. There have been other ages where, from the point of view of spirituality, we have been much more advanced than we are right now.
Well, and even technological, look at the Atlanteans, you know, and the rejuvenation chambers and the spacecraft run by the crystals.
Sort of like a picture of the future, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember those old comic books of Flash Gordon, you know, talking about space before we were even in space, and that was sort of prophetic. And now we can look back at Atlantis and see so many things that went on there, and in a sense is a prophecy for the future also.
Yeah, I asked him about these movies and the comics and all these things that, you know, have really started coming out since the 30s, et cetera. And he said that all this has been inspired by the beings and the hierarchy above, so that Earth is prepared to make contact with other worlds and be open to the fact that there is more than just this physical third-dimensional world. And it's been a slow process of opening the minds of the people to be receptive to breaking away from just what they can see and feel and touch, that they have to be open if they're even going to conceive of space travel and teleportation and all the wondrous things that are going to come our way in the next golden age.
Oh, that's a beautiful word, the next golden age. I know I yearn to be there. Something that you spoke of reminded me of a question, needless to say.
That's not a surprise.
Surprise, surprise, I have another question. You were talking about what you were referring to. You really didn't use this word, but you were referring to what a lot of people are talking about as the first contact, or first contact, meaning when humanity is going to be, I don't know if you want to use the word officially, or contacted by these beings from other planets, or maybe we should say that they will make themselves known to us. Do you have any sense of a time frame for that?
I get no sense of a time frame. Because a lot of what is going to happen is going to be on humanity and also on the governments. You know, it's my understanding. Let me get him to respond. He says that first contacts have been made and that there are those in certain governments that are aware of these contacts, but that they don't disclose this information because they are still trying to extract from these beings weapons of war rather than advancing our civilization through technology that will benefit all mankind. So that in essence, it's like the contacts have been made, but they're not public and will not be made public until the governments and the people are to a point where they can handle this type of information. I'm getting a sense like most people just wouldn't believe it unless the spaceship landed in their front yard. Kind of like Independence Day.
Right. And it's really interesting that we just can't get over, this idea that it has to be something to do with weapons and destruction. You know, humanity just can't seem to move away from that. Maybe it's not humanity. Maybe it's the government.
I think it's mostly those in power, but we have to remember that we're responsible because we elect them and we allow them to continue. And even, even with what I know, I don't have a clue where to start to dismantle society, so I turn that over to better minds than myself.
You know, now that we have our dearly beloved friend here among us, I don't know if he wants to comment on this because this really is not a Well, it's kind of a semi-spiritual question, but what I had in mind is, you know, you made a statement, which I certainly agree with, that what goes on in the world has to do with human consciousness. And in a sense, we deserve those that we have allowed to go into office, you know, whether they're corrupt, whether they're doing something right or wrong. We have given them permission to be there, and we have turned over the reins of power to them, so to speak. What, if anything, does he have to say about elections that were stolen?
He's saying that by people not speaking out, that they are giving their consent, and that the average person really has no interest on what's going on the government level. They are preoccupied with earning a living, watching television, eating, sleeping, and having a good time, and their concerns do not lie with the complete welfare of neither their country nor their world. Many are extended into the family units, but that they really have no desire to know, because they think if they know, then they're responsible. What they do not understand is that they're responsible by not speaking up, because by not speaking up, they're giving their consent to whatever actions are going on.
Yes, and it's very sad. I'm seeing a move, well, it appears to me to be a move towards bringing these dark things out into the surface so people will recognize it and stand up and be counted. Are we going to see more of this?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of this, because the old systems are dying. You know, they're basically dinosaurs. The planet will run out of oil. The way of life that we know will change, and it's almost going to take these types of things to get the people's attention. And again, it's almost like, are you going to return to God on your own, or do you need a cataclysm to wake you up enough to say, God, help me? But unfortunately, as long as people are fed and clothed and have a certain amount of pleasure in their lives, they're not too concerned with what's going on around them. And this is where the cataclysms and the earth changes come in, is to mostly get their attention so that they'll look beyond this, he's saying, puny little world.
Oh, it has to look puny from up above, just from the point of view of color. You know, we've got some dark sludge of negative emotions hanging around this planet.
Yeah, he calls that an electronic belt of energy around the Earth, and this is part of the safety system so that these thoughts of negativity don't go too far out. And that's why we're all here. We're here to learn our lessons, control our thoughts, and we're in like a safe environment where we can't do a whole lot of damage to each other or to the rest of the galaxy.
I'm wondering, I don't even know if Archangel Michael wants to comment on this. What's the prognosis of planet Earth and these human beings that are on its surface? Do you know what I mean by that, Mattia?
Yes. He says the prognosis, the diagnosis, or the future outlook. He says that the outlook is good, and that there's no doubt that Earth will step into the golden age. It's just a matter of how much pain do we want to suffer between the point, and he's showing me a line, you know, there's a point here and there's a point there. In essence, it's already been done. Everything is in place for the golden age. It is just a matter of how long mankind chooses to suffer and keep the veil of illusion intact, because they do not want to accept responsibility for what they've done or where they're going. again, he's very big on responsibility.
Yes, we're aware of that.
And he's saying that is the key. That mm-hmm. is the key to evolution. That is the key to progress. That is the key to everything, to stand up and say, God, I accept responsibility. And then the Holy Spirit will come in and start working with you, as will your guides and angels, to help you take that next step forward. But you have to tell God, I am willing to take responsibility.
I concur with everything that you say. I might just insert a little thought into that. From all the information that I've been getting, no matter who it comes from, there is the same thing that is being said constantly, even in the readings that I've been doing, is that one of the things, the greatest helps to us would be to invite our angels and our archangels to come to our aid every day with guidance and protection. And so I thought I might just like to pass that along, because that seems to be a very important point of view from Spirit.
Yeah, he says that we were never intended to make this journey alone, but that the ego divides us. We think we have to do it. We think we have to be the super people, and we run here and we run there, and half the time we don't even know why we're doing all these things, but we feel compelled. And this gets back to our subconscious programming and our ego mind, is that we do things that we don't understand why, and this sense of, well, I have to take care of my life and my family, and you only call on God or your angels when things get so bad that you're so burdened that you, it's almost like, well, I've done everything I know how to do, I guess I'll pray. You know, instead of just asking before you do anything. And they want in our lives, they want into the nitty-gritty. I mean, I ask them before I eat anything, before I go anywhere. I've learned to ask for the intervention before the disaster comes, so that the disaster doesn't happen. They are there, they are standing by, but they cannot intercede unless we ask. And prayer is our most valuable tool until we get to
yes,
that.
Yes, I really wanted to bring that in, because I do think that's something that needs to be impressed on people. Even in Chaos Before Creation, one of the entertainers there talks about the angelic help and how we need to call on that angelic help. So, yes, I think that's beautiful. Something in one of my readings talking about this ego that you were talking about is they were talking from the records about how ego works and divides people with this thought of us against them. And that has been a great downfall in society, as I would perceive that. This concept of it's us against them and not we in the oneness. It sounds like ego is playing a very large role in that.
The purpose of the ego is nothing but death, destruction, pain, hardship, to keep you constantly involved in drama, distracted from what has true meaning in your life, constantly seeking. And when you work with the ego mind, you'll never find it, because that's its ploy. It keeps you seeking. You may go from one church to another church, or you may go from one spiritual path and leader to another spiritual path and leader. He says this is what we're doing to ourselves. We are constantly seeking outside instead of understanding that the keys to heaven are within us. But that's where the ego comes in, because the ego keeps us in a constant state of turmoil, busyness, and frustration, so that we don't really have time to think about God.
Listening to his words and his sentiment reminds me of something that really has taken part of my mindset right now, and that is what is being called on the highways road rage. would he agree or disagree with this, that that the road rage that we're seeing on our highways today is part of this system of ego that he's talking about?
It's just an example that people cannot look within and say to God, I made a mistake. So what they do, they project this anger and this rage outward. And the road rage is just a sample of the frustration that people are feeling. It's also a sample of the fact that people of today are willing to cross boundaries that, say, 25 years ago, they wouldn't think of because of this programming from TV and radio and movies. We watch this stuff, it comes in, and we think it's okay to emulate this.
You mean the violence?
The violence, you know, it's all about me consciousness and what do I do to make myself feel good, and I'm so important, this person is in my way, so therefore I have a right to do whatever I need to do because I'm so important that other people become a no-thing or not considered in the scheme because it's all about me, all about my focus, my mission, my errand. I'm important, and you get in my way, and I have a right to do this. So this, again, comes back to the ego mind and the ego programming, and these people are just acting out on a planetary scale that which needs cleared within the individuals. And I think we talked about this before.
Yes.
That our outer world is a reflection of the things that we need to deal with on the inner subconscious and ego mind. Everything you look at in TV and news, everything that you don't like in someone else, especially the things you don't like in someone else, are the things you need to look at from within yourself.
Well, it's interesting that you you brought that up because I had it was something that I was going to touch on because I'm seeing this in the readings also, is that people who come into our our world and relationship of some sort, whether it's at work or at school, and there seems to be a problem in dealing with this person for some reason, maybe a hostility of some sort that the individual just can't seem to cut through or change. And excuse me, I've had this cold that can't seem to shake, but these seem to be spiritual crises of some sort where the person has many ways that they can heal this. And some of the things that I have seen in the readings have been in these situations that there has been past life, these people who come into your life that are difficult have been in one of your past lifetimes, and in a sense you're facing yourself, and that needs to be healed. And so there's been a lot of interesting information that has come out about that our relationships, our roles of relationships, and what we're going through right now didn't necessarily all come from this lifetime. And so we really need to ponder these and work on the healing process, because it's like a trigger. It's like a mirror. Here's something that you've got to pay attention to. Have you seen some of that in your readings?
He doesn't focus too much on personal relationships, but while you were speaking, he says that the answer to these situations is forgiveness.
Yes.
Is that forgiveness is what breaks the cycle and releases you and puts you in contact with the higher mind, that each of these situations as they come up, if you just extend forgiveness. And unconditional love is a theme that comes to many through my readings, as they want people to practice this more.
And sometimes this forgiveness is forgiving yourself.
Hello, lady.
Hello.
We're at the top of the hour. Thank you.
Okay.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.